to In the Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Young hearts are foolish, they make such mistakes. They're much too eager to give their love away. Well, I have been foolish too many times. Now I'm determined, I'm gonna get.
The Stellas are here to talk about their brand new single called Gravy, which will be featured on a new album from them in 2015. On December 9th, you'll be able to buy their new Christmas song called All Wrapped Up in Christmas. The Stellas won CCMA Duo of the Year in 2013. They're from Ontario and now live in Music City. My pleasure to welcome the Stellas, Brad and Mary Lynn. Welcome.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I am doing terrific. Great to have you both here.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Well, I'm so excited because we do have the single Gravy coming up on the show, and we'll talk about that. You shot a real fun video for that with some special guests, not only your daughters, but Vince and Amy Grant. Vince Gill and Amy Grant are in it.
Right. we pulled some favors.
There was this part treatment that said, you know, we have these nosy neighbors, whatever, and I was like, oh, we got to ask, whatever. And we had just played a few shows with them and did some really cool things, and I was just like, oh, they're perfect because, you know, they're super funny, and I called them just hoping that they were going to be around to do it, and they were totally awesome.
Let's talk about the start from Ontario to Nashville, your first trip in 2008. Now, I understand that things really happened at an impromptu show at the Commodore Grill when you kind of talked your way into performing.
Yeah, well, it was Mary Lynn was the two of us. We were used to open mic nights and where you could just sort of sign your name on a list and get up and play. But it definitely was different in Nashville, and they were very scheduled, you know, writers' nights in advance of it. But Mary Lynn, actually, she was determined. She kept on asking the guy who was running, be like, please, I just want to see we played in Nashville. Please, I just want. And then he let us go up after everyone was done, and everyone left, all the crowd left, everything. I think there was one guy sleeping in the corner of the place. He let us get up, and it was so awesome of him. I mean, I'm sure he wanted to go home. But we played a few songs to an empty place, but we got to see the split Nashville. And then he liked it, and this guy, the same guy's name is Lee Rascal. He ended up having another night that he has these feature nights over. And he was like, "Will you guys stay and come to my feature night and play on the Wednesday?" And we did that. And then that's when we ended up getting, you know, a publishing deal out of that night and stuff. So it was pretty lucky. I mean, we've been playing together for so long, but then just one being in the right spot at the right time.
The timing was obviously
was incredible.
Perfect. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's so much of what it is, right? We hear these overnight success stories, which aren't actually overnight, but it's all those years prior honing the skills of songwriting and performing, and then an opportunity like that, the talent and that opportunity come together. So I guess it's hopeful for people out there who are working away at songwriting and performing that they may have that opportunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's the thing. It's everyone's, I don't know, you always have this thing that you're always looking for this big break or this big opportunity where something, you know, mass is going to happen, whatever. But everything that, for us, you know, anything that led to something really great or opened a door, or whatever, was something so random and so small, you know, just playing, you know, singing when everyone would listen and singing whether they're listening or not and just performing at all the different, you know, anywhere that you can. And it was always the times where you're like, you know, you'd think, you know, if you looked at it, you'd be like, well, obviously nothing's going to happen here. I'm in the middle of nowhere in some, you know, beer tent in freaking, you know, small town somewhere. And just, but there's someone that's there for, you know, we're playing at some wedding and someone flew in from this place and they have this. It's like, and it's those random times. So it's just, you know, making sure that you take all advantage of any opportunity you can to be heard, because lots of times the big, you know, where you think there's going to be a big moment in your career isn't, and the smallest little thing is, you know.
That's great advice. Now, Mary Lynn, can you tell me how it felt when the two of you won Duo of the Year in 2013 at the CCMAs? What a big moment.
It really was big. It's funny because my daughter, Maisie, she made fun of me and said, Mom, you looked like an extra, because lots of times extras overact. And when we won, I was so completely shocked that I was like, you know, big eyes wide open, my hand, I'm like, oh my God, I was like freaking out. She's like, you look like an extra, because I promise you, we did not prepare for that. Like, at no point did we even capability that we were taking anything home. We were just, you know, we were excited to be there, and there wasn't even the slightest chance. So we did not prepare.
One of those great surprises in life, right, when it's not something you're expecting, and to have that happen is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it sure was, yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, it was definitely unexpected and welcomed at the same time.
The first song that I heard of the two of you, of the Stellas, that that got me really interested in your music was Perfect, which was on the radio, and I kept thinking, that song sounds so familiar, and that's Fairground Attraction, I think from the 1980s.
Yeah, it is, yeah. It's a British band.
I hadn't heard that song before, and we started working with Johnny Reed, and there was another co-producer on there, and he was, anyway, he heard Mary Lynn sing, and he was from the UK, and he's like, oh my God, I've wanted someone to cut this song, and this was a big hit in the late 80s, and I just think your voice is perfect, whatever, and we're like, okay, and he goes, you know, I don't really think that you guys, you know, your song, they felt like their songs were a little bit left of center to try to come out as a new act, and then try to get on radio, and he's like, this is totally like a radio song. And then so we're like, okay, well, let's just try it or whatever else. And then we went in the studio and cut it, and it was like, it just kind of felt like sort of, you know, sounded very comfortable for Mary Lynn to sing, and it did sound like us and stuff. So and then going back in and then listening to all their other stuff, we just became big fans, you know, like that band is like so good. Yeah.
You know, and you go from that song Perfect to a song like In This House. So there's a video for that one as well. And, I mean, talk about a heartbreaking song, so heartfelt. What place in your hearts does In This House hold? How special is that song to both of you?
That song is, you know, it's I don't know, it's a rare thing, I think, to have a song be so connected to a song. And I, you know, this many years later after writing it, I still have a really hard time with it. It's a very, very personal song. And, you know, originally when we first came out with it, it was a weird thing. Like, I didn't even really consider the possibility that it was everybody else's story, too. It was just, it's my parents in the song. And I don't know. It's
weird when you write something from your own perspective and thinking that, you know, it's sort of a song for you and for healing and for, you know, whatever, if it comes from a place and you feel like you're a little bit inside of it or wrapped up in it. But then we started playing it. We went on tour, and we would go out, you know, after we played and to the intermission or whatever, and there would always be people coming up and, like, you know, telling us these stories, which obviously we want to hear, but it's like, heartbreaking because we're trying to get these pictures taken, and Marilyn's bawling hysterically, and these people are telling us all the. But it's amazing. I mean, it's that's all you ever want to do is just affect people with, you know, with music and with something that you created, you know, from the heart or whatever. That's mm-hmm. all you want to do, whether it makes someone happy or sad or moves them or helps them get through something. That's all you want.
Yeah.
But when you do, when it does happen, it's a little bit like it's almost like, you know, it's just over. It's just a lot, because then all of a sudden, you know, now you're living where with all these other stories of all these other people, you know, their heartache and stuff, and it's like it's a completely different thing that I don't really think that we thought about, you know, when we wrote it and released it, you know.
It's quite amazing how a story that is so personal to someone, in this case Mary Lynn, is universal. I guess that speaks to the fact that, you know, we all go through the same kinds of things in life. So, as you said, it's pretty rewarding that a song that you wrote touches so many people. And I think even sad songs, they might, as you said, they might bring tears to our eyes, but it helps us release that emotion, which ultimately is a good thing. It kind of makes us feel we're not
right.
alone.
Totally. And I think for me, it was the timing of it. Of the release of that song, it was a weird thing because I wasn't quite done with the song myself yet. You know what I mean? So
right.
I still have a hard time with that song. This many years later, I still have a hard time with that song. There's moments in it that are so completely personal that it's still hard to get through.
I want to talk about the brand new album that you have ready for us in 2015. But let's first of all, congratulations on the Grand Ole Opry debut. Let's hear all about that, because what an exciting moment. Can you put that into words?
I don't know. I mean, it was it was everything that you sort of expect it would be, that you know, you can't feel your legs and stuff, and also too
right.
It was the Opry at the Ryman, which, you know, so there's only a couple months out of the year that they do the Opry show at the Ryman, and we just happened to be on that one. So it was just like, are you kidding me? So coming out, and, you know, on the Ryman stage and playing the Opry, and, I mean, it got to the point where it was like, you know, it felt like it was going on for like an hour, but it also felt like it just flew by. It was this really, really weird moment, and it was kind of like the audience is so, I don't know what it is. There's something different that
yeah.
I've never felt in any other room than in the opera. It's like, it's a complete, there's no like performer and there's complete, that's completely gone now. So we're just all in a room, and it's like, it's just our turn to talk. Like, it's like, we're all having a little hang
mm-hmm.
and it's our turn to speak, whatever. And it was great. Like I definitely got choked up that I can end up keep singing. But then I looked out and I was like seeing these men, big bearded men, like crying. It just did me in. So I was a bit of a mess. And then it was crazy too, because as soon as we finished, then people started standing up. So there's people crying and they're standing up. Either they're crying and they hate us and they're trying to leave because they're all leaving, or no, or maybe it's good. Like, I was like, this is weird. It was unbelievable. It was overwhelming for sure.
Yeah, it was honestly kind of perfect.
Yeah.
It was a perfect night.
And what songs did you perform?
We did our version of Love Hurts, and we did another song of ours, which, funny enough, it's the only... We have two songs that make me cry pretty much every time we sing them, and that's In This House and this other song called It Wouldn't Be This, which is our next single, actually, and that's the other song we did. And so, unfortunately, there was some crying that went down.
Right. Wow, what an amazing moment. And I saw a picture of you, Mary Lynn, online in Hank Williams Sr.'s dressing room. Wow.
That's right. Yeah, that was our dressing room.
Yeah.
Talk about the spirit of music being there. Did that just give you chills knowing you were there with one of country's greatest?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, just insane.
There really is. It's kind of an inexplainable thing. You can't put it into words. It's what you dream of. And then when it happens, it still seems dreamlike, you know? Even though it's
mm-hmm.
happening, it still feels like a dream.
Wow. Let's turn to the current single you have out, which also has that video that features Vince Gill and Amy Grant and your daughters as well, Lennon and Maisie. Such a fun video called Gravy. Brad, maybe tell us about the song. Are you two the writers on this, and maybe a little something about it?
Yeah, we actually we wrote it. We have one of our favorite songwriters. His name is Fred Wilhelm, and he's just this brilliant wordsmith, and he never tries to sort of, you know, nudge us back into the box. He just kind of like, he'll just go as far like out there. And anyway, so, you know, he the whole thing was, we had written the song, actually we wrote It Wouldn't Be This with him, and a couple of years later we got back in a room with him, and he was like, so is it, you know, you guys, this has happened, and you're on the radio, and this is, everything's changed, or whatever. And we're like, no, like, everything's the same. It was like, but it's just, and he's like, what about this? And so we just had this sort of tongue-in-cheek, weird thing that how it looks like, you know, more things have changed, and we're just sort of doing the same thing as we always have. And so we started writing this song, you know, just kind of from a sort of funny perspective or whatever, and then it was like, you know, this is a bad idea. We're going to call this song Gravy, you know, because it's just a bad name for a song. And we're like, yeah, exactly. It's a bad name for a song. That's what we're calling it, you know. So then it just kind of went on and on. And it just, I don't know, it just always felt like fun and upbeat and not too serious because, you know, we had all these things that were happening, and we felt like it was, like, really cool stuff, and we were getting so serious and emotional and happy and sad, and just, like, all these things, and so I just felt like it was just kind of a fun sort of way to look at it, you know. It's like instead of, you know, this bleeding heart and talking about how grateful you always are and how amazing everything is and everything, just to have a fun spin on it and just, you know, have fun with how amazing everything is, you know.
Definitely. Well, that's awesome. It's such a positive attitude. And, I mean, there's a quote that is in your bio where you talk about, you know, in the beginning of your career, you ran into a lot of people who were musicians and living in their cars and waiting tables, waiting for that record deal. And that's your story as well. And, Brad, you say to you guys, it was like camping. You enjoyed those times as well.
Yeah, that was, I mean, that honestly, like, it was like, I think it's different, too, because lots of times when a couple, you know, it's usually like, say, the guy's trying to, you know, do it or make it, you know, make a living playing music, or the girl is, but like, so for us, it wasn't like this push and pull, like, you know, get a real job. It was like, we were just both following this path.
We were both looking for,
you know, like where we were just, so it was always this amazing journey or amazing experience, and whatever was happening was it was happening together. And it's just a completely different outlook. We never looked at it as like doom and gloom, although there was definitely, you know, as you look at it from now,
there's definite money struggles.
Irresponsible behavior when we had kids, just to, you know, stick them in a van and just go for it with no money and be stranded in the middle of, you know, it's like there was a lot of, I'd say rash decisions that we made, but I think that that's how things happen. You know, if you spend so much time planning and thinking about it and worried about something, you know, then you can be safely bored and safely unhappy, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got lots more to talk about with Brad and Mary Lynn Stella. Right now, let's hear that song called Gravy. Here are the Stellas on In the Country.
Gonna have to do with what we used to do without. Go crazy, burn through it, baby. It just weighs us down. Spend it, lend it, give it to a friend. If we don't need it anyhow, we've been happy with nothing. Gotten good at getting by. But at least then, when we're broke again, well, it won't be our first time. Hey, I got you, you got me, baby. Everything else is crazy. Oh my Lord, now we can afford the finer things in life. We used to have to share a burger, but now we share a burger and fries. And it won't take long till the money's on.
Those are the Stellas with their brand new song called Gravy from their upcoming album in early 2015. You'll find their website at thestellasmusic.com. And before we go any further, let's talk about your daughters, Lennon and Maisie, who, of course, are on the big hit show on ABC called Nashville. I love that show. Can't wait each week for the new episodes. Maddie and Daphne Conrad, tell me all about this. I mean, you must be pretty proud, first of all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous how proud we are. It's insane. It's also very unbelievable. The whole thing, I mean, everything that has to do with, you know, the steps and the stages of all of what's happening is just so remarkable, and it's hard to believe. But yeah, the girls, they, you know, we moved here originally to follow through with and keep working away at our publishing deal and writing songs, and the TV show was just like a total fluke thing that happened. Maisie originally went in. We actually got called for Maisie to come in for an audition because the casting director, I mean, it's a really long story, and I won't get into it because it's really, really long, but casting director was friends with a friend of ours who, you know, had basically mentioned Maisie to her, and so she called us to bring Maisie in for an audition, and Maisie went through, and they fell in love with her, and I guess they had kind of chosen Maisie, but the original script called for a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old, and Maisie was going for the 8-year-old, and then when they were looking for the sister for Maisie, the six-year-old, they stumbled on Lennon friend of ours posted a video of the girls singing. We always would give the girls our last song no matter what round we were doing, and we had recently played at the Bluebird, and so we got the girls up to do our last song as we always do, and our friend had videoed it and posted it, and the casting director was friends with her on Facebook, and so she basically stumbled on Lennon and was like, oh my god, there's two of them. So the final audition, we were on our way in, and they literally called frantic, being like, where's Lennon? How fast can you get her here? We're rethinking the ages of the girls. And Lennon had never even considered acting before, to be truthful. It was Maisie's thing, and Maisie had always wanted it, but Lennon had never even considered it. So when we got there, she went in and read for the part that she'd been working with Maisie on to help Maisie learn her lines. And they brought Maisie in to sing with her, and they came out and they're like, Maisie, you want to come in and sing with your sister? And I was like, it's over. If they're getting them to sing, it's over. So they ended up, you know, they got the parts and the rest is history.
Pretty amazing. They're both, I mean, not only great singers, musicians, but, I mean, the acting is so natural and just so believable. It's incredible to watch.
Thank you. Yeah, we're pretty impressed with how they've been doing because, I mean, it's their first acting jobs for both of them. I mean, Maisie had a couple of music videos and whatever, but she'd never even spoken in a part. So
right.
It's pretty incredible to watch, you know. And they're growing
like?
Crazy.
Yeah. Exactly. I was going to ask what it's like to be on the set of Nashville. Have you had a chance, I'm sure, to be there and behind the scenes and all that stuff? Great people?
Oh, I go on set with them every time they're on crew, and like literally crew straight to catering, wardrobe. Everybody is the kindest, most incredible people, and I don't even know how they manage to do that. Like when you're talking about that many people, how they don't have anybody in there that's just a dud, I have no idea. They're all super extraordinary, beautiful people, all of them.
Right.
We adore
that's
them
great.
All. Yeah.
It's such a great show.
Thanks. Yeah, we love it. We love it ourselves.
We're going to play the new Christmas song coming up shortly called All Wrapped Up in Christmas from the two of you. But let's talk about the new album. Gravy is going to be on it. You mentioned the title of another single that'll happen in January, the album shortly after that. I know there's some surprises on here, some different things. In fact, one I thought was really cool, Baba O'Reilly, which is your rootsy take on a song from 1971 from The Who, from their Who's Next album. I mean, there's something out of left field. It's something you guys like to do.
I think every record that we put out, we're gonna take, you know, an old rock song. And the first record we had, you know, well, Love Hurts obviously was the Everly Brothers sang it years ago, whatever. But you know, how I knew it and how Marilyn knew it was the Nazareth mm-hmm. version, whatever. So I don't know. There's just something about, you know, that song specifically. There was this that keyboard hook, and I always heard it as, it'd be cool as a fiddle. I did little, so that we just started talking about it. And I don't know, it was one of those things that it was like, just seemed like such a great song to cover. I love me some rock music, Marilyn as well. I mean, we grew up with all that stuff, but it was just one, I just think that we can kind of just pick one song. I really want to cover Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty at some point.
Nice. Yeah,
you know, instead of the sack, do it like on a freaking steel or on lap steel or something, just be killer. But anyway, yeah. I think every record we're gonna do one rock song our way. You
That's
know?
Cool. Yeah, I love hearing a rock song with a different kind of spin on it—a rootsy or a country spin. What else, Mary Lynn, on the album? Anything else? Any other surprises? Or maybe there's a tearjerker on this one as well.
I think probably the sort of tearjerker wouldn't be this. And it's not a tearjerker. It's just, it's a positive song. It's not a sad song, but it's one of those, like, it makes me cry because it's so positive and moving. Like,
oh, nice.
From our story. But, yeah, like a lot of the songs too, like, a few of the songs at least are songs that we'd written a long time ago that we never got to put on the first album because we were so, you know, cautious of being, we didn't want to be too different. You know what I mean? Like, we were kind of not by any means was anybody holding us back for sure, but we definitely were nervous about, you know, going out there full force on our first album. So, We toned it down, I think, a bit, and we saved some songs that this album we put songs that we just loved on, songs that we'd written a long time ago that we really did love and just kind of came to the fact that we wanted them heard as well. So this album is different. It's got a lot of variety for sure.
I guess it's important that you have a label and other people around you that obviously appreciate and respect your sound, because you've got your own kind of sound and songs you believe in, and you need them to be on your side, or you've got to fight them a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always going to be the struggle between the artist and the label, and the label obviously wanting it to be, you know, as marketable and as, you know, commercial as you can, and the artist always wants to be as introspective and weird and bizarre as they can. And I think that's part of what makes it meet somewhere in the middle and makes it great. I think if you go too far one way, you get sort of wrapped up and caught up in yourself, and you just get self-indulgent, and you lose sight of people actually being able to
connect
and ingest them, you know, properly. And then on the other side, you know, if you just sort of go, you know, just willingly with what would make it easier for the label, then I think that you're never going to be truly happy or satisfied as an artist, you know.
Yeah, like you lose the honesty that way.
So I think that there's always, it's good to have that sort of push and pull. I mean, being that we've been doing this for so long and having, you know, when you're younger, it's a lot easier to sort of just be like, I'll just do what they, you know, what they're suggesting or whatever else. And sometimes it's just, every time the artist, you know, always knows what's best in their gut or whatever. And to have we've been so lucky. We had, we had Johnny Reed, come in really early when we were able to make our own record and record, you know, we literally like recorded the vocals and guitars and stuff in our bathroom at our house. Like he just let us do whatever we wanted to do. And that's like, and that's in this house, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, we're in our bathroom in Maryland singing with towels up and candle, like, and he was totally cool with that, where other people would just be like, you can't do that. You know, that's just how it was. That's what we sort of do. And he just let us do that. And then we had, you know, all the label and everyone else was so great about being like, yeah, we're going to release this song, and we're going to, even though it's a ballad and all those things. So we've just been really lucky to have people that, that just kind of believe in it, you know, and let us do our thing. And we just, I don't know why. I guess I feel like it wouldn't work on any level any other way. And I think that people sort of see that. So I guess it's just, we've just been really fortunate.
They know that you've got to be the unique people you are, and that if you tried not to do that and tried to be something else, the magic wouldn't be there, which is wonderful. I know that somebody else who believes in you, the two of you, is Zach Brown. You toured with the Zach Brown Band. And Brad, you co-wrote Let It Rain, which is on the Grohl Sessions, their EP from 2013. And Dave Grohl plays drums on that song. It's a great song. What was it like writing a song with Zach Brown?
Oh, he's a freak. He's a monster. Like I was just cherry picking ideas. Like he literally, like we were on the bus. I went out with him for a run for about a week, just to write while he was on tour. And then we were coming, we were getting on as well. Me and Mary Lynn to open, a bunch of shows as well. So this mm-hmm. was just when he was going just out from a run that we weren't on, but I just went and he just, it was like, you know, he'd finish the show and then, you know, at whatever, 1 or 2 in the morning, we would start writing and write till about 10 or 11 in the morning until we'd be in the next spot. And then he'd sort of crash out for a bit and then get up for Mean Green. It was just like, it was just so inspiring because it was just me and him on the bus, and he just had like idea after idea. So it was really, really easy. Like we wrote quite a few songs because he comes like, and then, I don't know, it's so bizarre because he has no limits either, like, as far as vocally, like, the guy can sing, right? Mm-hmm. And so any cool change to, like, where a lot of people would be like, oh, you know, that's just, you know, that change just is just too strange. Like, you know, he just went for it. Like, it was like, you know, we played some pretty strange chord progressions but when he sings on it, it's just like, I don't know, man. It's a different level, you know. If writing with the artist like that is a just completely different thing, because you know that's what voice is going to be on. So in the process of that, writing with another writer, you know, hoping that, hey, I hope, you know, Tim McGraw cuts this song over. Well, you might hear Tim McGraw in your head singing the song, but it's Tim McGraw sitting in the room and singing it, and you can hear the song,
right?
You know, like just with the acoustic guitar and that vocal, you know what it's going to sound like. So it was a really cool, thing. And then to have Grohl play on it was just stupid. It was unbelievable.
Pretty amazing. You know what? I got about a minute clip here of it, actually. If you wouldn't mind, Brad, I'd love to share it with our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's check it out. Here's a bit of the song written by Brad Stella and Zach Brown. Zach Brown on vocals. It's called Let It Rain. Let's check it out now.
The truth hurts the worst, so you might as well face it. Again, be white clean.
standing on the shore of tomorrow's horizon, let music set you free. Let it rain, let it pour, let you spill it and dark my door. Lay the past in the graveyard, the things that can't hold me no more. Breathe in deep, let it out. Watch the bitterness out of your mouth. There's no room left for darkness when you fill with the light, it comes out.
What a great song.
Thanks. But it was crazy because I got to go in the studio for a couple of days and watch and Grohl produce, you know, these songs over, and I was like, what? And then when he was like, I gotta play drums on this track, it was just like winning the lottery because he only played on one song and it just happened to be that one.
Yeah.
So it was killing.
Pretty amazing. Let's turn to the Christmas song, All Wrapped Up in Christmas, which people will be able to purchase, I guess, at iTunes starting on December 9th. Tell me a bit about the song, Mary Lynn.
Well, it's actually kind of funny because I thoroughly enjoy writing Christmas songs. I don't know what it is.
She hates Christmas, but she loves Christmas.
It is the weirdest thing. Like, I love writing Christmas songs. It's like a, I don't know, it's like a focus topic, and they're usually
right.
Just lighthearted and fun. There's no, you know what I mean? Like, it's all just, it's just about happiness and fun. I love it.
Yeah.
And so I just had the idea of being, you know, wrapped up in Christmas that, I don't even know, it literally just came down to the fact that I love writing Christmas songs, and so we just wrote this one. Just, I don't even know. It's just a silly, lighthearted Christmas song.
Now, is Christmas? Now, I'm going to assume, based on how you talk about the simpler times and just love being a family together, that Christmas is pretty simple for you guys. Just about family and probably good food too.
Yes, food. it is. Being here, like, and being in Nashville now, all of our family's at home, in, you know, just with the Oshawa area, and we started a tradition when we moved here, like that we would, you know, do Christmas. We do Christmas every year at the homeless shelter now. So, we take the girls and we serve Christmas dinner to the homeless. So it's funny because our first year doing it was, you know, Lennon, I remember she said something that struck me so funny because I'm one of eight. I have seven siblings and they all have kids, and, you know, we grew up in the most chaotic Christmases you could possibly imagine. And after our first year serving at the shelter, Lennon, we laughed and she's like, that was so nice. I mean, there was no chaos. It was so relaxing. And I'm like, the fact that she, compared serving hundreds of homeless people at a shelter less chaotic than going to my family's house, to me, it was so funny. But it's true. It really is. It's so organized, and it's so, you know, everybody's just thankful to be there, and it's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love doing it, and the girls love doing it. And so we have very simple, easy Christmases here. I am not going to say that they were before we got here because they were the furthest thing. They were extremely chaotic and crazy. But our Christmases here are definitely quiet and easy.
Do you miss the snow at all at Christmas, Brad?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it gets cold. That's the thing. It's like, it gets cold here, and the odd time it snows, and then it's like, but it just, you know, if it's going to be that cold, I definitely want snow. We get to go out, like, almost every year, like, we're somewhere around Christmas time, we're in Canada, so, or somewhere with snow. Like, this year, we're in Utah,
We're at Sundance, and it's like we're there until the 23rd. Yeah, 23rd. So we're going to be like on the mountain, covered in snow. So it's going to be awesome. You know what I mean? So we get kind of get. It does. It feels you know, it does feel weird without. I'm just so used to Canadian Christmas, and we sort of just have Canadian Christmas. We're just not to try to get back there and to try to. You know, it's the girls have a little window of time off, you know, and everyone's sort of busy, and just to try to get up to you know, to Toronto or to Whitby and then do all the visit, then we can't bring everything back and we're driving. So it's like, it's just, you know, it's more chaotic than, you know, we want to make sure that the girls are remembering Christmas as these great moments that they get to put their feet up for a second too, right? Like, it's just, you know, we don't have to be a big rushing.
For sure. Well, let's hear that great song now. These Are the Stellas, and it's all wrapped up in Christmas on In the Country. The Stellas, all wrapped up in Christmas. That will be available at iTunes on December 9th, and their website is thestellasmusic.com. Great song, as you said, Mary Lynn. It's just a happy, fun song, which is really what Christmas should be about.
Totally. Totally. Just fun, happy, silly. It's all about love and candy.
The album is coming out in early 2015, the new album on Universal Canada. Brad and Mary Lynn, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. So great to talk to you and to share the songs that I did. It's been a real pleasure. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking your time.
My pleasure. Once again, my guests have been Brad and Mary Lynn, the Stellas. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.